I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast. Kat and JJ are not on this episode as we are recording, say, like, a little after lunch. They're both at work today, but we do have an amazing guest host for you today. It is Kyle Dunbar. You know him from two seasons of Ink Masters. He's a great artist, kind of developed his, I would say, kind of developed your own style with tattooing, which is really fun if you're into tattooing. Kyle was kind enough to come on. I saw that Kyle has a podcast, and much like Kyle's style and tattooing, his podcast is raw, right to the point. And if there's a guest that you like or you just enjoy Kyle's personality, the podcast is definitely for you. I love it because he brings on a lot of the people from Ink Masters, as somebody who loves tattoos. It's right up my alley. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on.
I'm trying to find a new definition for it used to be, forgive me actually for saying it, Eskimo is a derogatory name, so I can't use it anymore. We're in the future now, we're in the Twitter future, so I'm trying to figure out what kind of cousins I have, because we've all been fucked by the same show and they are my returning contestants, but I can't use the, you know, derogatory expletive to, I need to find something new. I don't know.
No, well, I get the sentiment though. I mean, you had one of the more interesting rides on that show. You know, you were one of that first group of people that got invited back, right? That was early on. It was season three.
I was, yeah. First, from season two, they invited Tattoo Baby
back. That's right.
And then I was the second person and the last, kind of in that same regard, like, yeah. No longer did they're like, that's hurting people. I think we're breaking their brains. Let's not. If you look at the timeline of it, at least for me, I studied, you know, season on episode 8, she was ready to be done. She was ready. You know, she was packing it in, saying, hey, send me home. And I believe it was on the same episode that I tried to have a fight with the judge.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there isn't some correlation there. You know, it's like a person can take so much, you know?
Well, and reality TV is, I mean, that's a tricky thing to be on anyway, because they're going to, in my opinion, and I would think it was probably your experience, they're going to push your buttons as hard as they can to get entertainment value out of you instead of having you put forward your best foot as a human. I don't think they really care much about that. You know, it's all about ratings and content for them.
It is. I think if you can start out with a storyline that doesn't have you getting your buttons pushed or has you being calm and collected all the time, but not that you don't get to control your storyline.
Well, and I'm curious about that. And of course, we will get into our wonderful guest, Amanda, here in a minute. But I just, as a fan of the show and a fan of the art in and of itself, I you know, it seems like E! Masters has really come back kind of in the same way The Office did with the streaming services. I know I have friends who kind of casually watched it like back in the day, but now because we all binge watch everything, they've sat down and watched every single season of Ink Masters. Have you found that that's had kind of a resurgence for you?
The next, well? After Netflix was, after it was syndicated to Netflix, if that's what we call it, but after they bought it, it's like the very next day, I had like 1,000 friend requests on one of my things.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really pay attention too much because I don't know, you know, because why? And but that was a number that I was like, oh, wow, what the fuck? You know, like normally I'll wake up and I'll have some friend requests. And but that time it was, and then it started again. Like some people seem to, they don't know how long. I mean, if it came out on Netflix yesterday, you think it was yesterday, but it was really almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
People are coming up to me in the mall and they're like, man, it's been rough. Been stressed out.
I remember
out, huh?
Watching it. Like, I remember DVRing it and binging it because it came on while I was at work. So I'd have like a week's worth and I'd just watch them all at once.
Yeah.
I think that helps you have because, you know, week to week to week, you kind of forget what happened. You almost need to build
exactly.
You almost need that whole, like, what happened last?
Yeah, like a recap.
Yeah. Well, and when you watch it closely, I think it's almost, I don't know, it at least makes people on my side of the story. You know what I mean? Because when they watch it so closely, like, no, they're fucking with the kid. Look at them. You know, you can see it.
I mean, yeah. I watched it with my grandma. I'll never forget. Like, she never had any tattoos, but like, I like tattoos. And like, we watched that show together and she would just, she had no idea like the art of tattooing. And I really got to bring her through, like, and let her watch that. And it was a really interesting experience.
She grew up in a time when it was just for sailors and whores, right?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
She's like, no, grandma doesn't have any tattoos. Grandma is not a whore.
Well, and honestly, like,
one cigarette and one beer at the bar. And that's
it's a great frame of reference for anybody who is thinking about getting a tattoo. Like, before I got my first tattoo is really when I got into the show, because I wanted to educate myself on the different forms of artwork. And, you know, I mean, the show is what it is from a entertainment standpoint, but getting to see all you artists like Kyle and many of the other ones that I loved on the show, it really helped me kind of learn, hey, this is kind of what's considered a good tattoo. These are all the different styles in tattooing. And I was able to identify, like, okay, I want this kind. I knew what kind of artist to go and find. And since then I've had like a good experience after a good experience getting,
you know, did it the right way. I did it the other way where I was like identifying all my bad tattoos while I was watching the show. I was like, oh shit, his hand was too heavy. This lighting is too wrong.
Well, your tattoos don't all look like a sticker. Is that what you're saying?
No. No.
I feel like that was a phrase overused, so like just used over and over in that.
Oh, sticker tats.
Yeah.
I just hate it. I personally kind of hate it when a tattoo looks like it was just taken off of a page and then placed on the skin. It's like it doesn't flow. No, it stops your eye. I mean, there's a body underneath.
No personality,
there.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you need to escape that body to be able to, you know, to make the tattoo live.
And I think that's what people dig about your work so much, is it does feel like it's, I mean, not that the other side isn't art as well, because I mean, you're giving a customer what they want and you're creating something on their body, but yours really feels like a one of a kind piece that I think they can, you know, treasure with them.
Well, that was one thing on the show. If I had to replay the show, I would do it completely different. I would copy everything from Google and I would be $63,000 richer after taxes because Google is the best tattoo artist in the world. Just hands down. You cannot beat it. Oh, Scott, there's an episode missing because of Scott's reference. Was a very popular image that he had done and he had taken it from Google, you know, and they had talked about that, about how he'd been using Google. And it was kind of,
I remember
people thought it was unfair. I mean, whether it was unfair or not, he took the risk and it was against their instructions, but it was not against the rules, if that makes sense. But because of that, there is a Rob Zombie's appearance will never be, you'll never be able to see him on Ink Masters. Scott fucked all that up.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And that's my favorite rocker. So I'd do anything to see him on anything.
You know, I missed him that day too. That was the day I blew up and would have been excited. It was the first time I actually my best friend, Dr. Blasphemy, was coming on, and he had also cheated with me and told me what the day was going to be. So I had a drawing already ready of a demon girl, and I blew up. But it's good, terrible, whatever. So I didn't meet him. And you know what? They make it look like I met Hugh Jackman as well. But Hugh Jackman came the next day after Rob Zombie.
Oh, wow.
Because of the way security was to work. So they were going to pay more money for security on the Rob Zombie day. Just happens to be the day that I get in a fight. And there was plenty of security that day. And then they were, they keep the security over now for the contract for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And then they kept our clothes in plastic baggies and gave them all to us and said, here, wear these. Except for me, because I was already in a hotel room trying to straighten out my brain.
Well, and this is just kind of my last note on Ink Masters. I think it helped me realize that the style I like the most is neo-traditional and traditional, just because I wanted to do like one arm originally. And actually the artist I've ended up using the most, her name is Christina, and she apprenticed under Dave Kruseman, like 10 years ago. And her work is very, very similar to his. And she knows a lot of you all from Ink Masters and that stuff. So it's always fun to get tattooed from her and tell her about the podcast and that kind of stuff.
She has a lineage that shares with James Vaughn then as well.
Yeah.
Who was Dave Kruseman's mentor.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, Kyle, I would be remiss if I didn't get into some ghost stuff. So I want to ask you what we like to find out on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We call it the Believo-meter. So we want to know where you fall on that. Zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts at all, and 10, you believe ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
What was Mulder? Wasn't it Mulder or was it Fox? I know he wanted to believe.
Mulder.
Yeah, I'm like Mulder on it. Like
maybe like a two or three, you think?
I guess, you know, I'm the combination of the two.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Because at the same time as I want to believe, I'm like, you're going to have to convince me better than that, motherfucker.
Best of both worlds.
That's fair. Absolutely. And Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm glad you already jumped in some. We do have an awesome guest co-host, so I certainly am happy to share that and talk. But we want to hear about your ghost story. So where do you fall on that same scale on the Believo-meter?
Well, 10 out of 10. Okay. 10.
You don't believe at all, huh?
I believe it completely. Like, I 100% believe it. But I think that comes with any of your own experience. Like, anytime you are just like scared shitless, like, I just don't think you forget that. And that's kind of carried with me from the experience I'm going to tell you about kind of through my whole life. So.
Yeah. And I, you know, I looked through your emails and of course, from doing this podcast, it seemed like you have kind of had a whole host of experiences dating back from when you were a child, and, you know, growing up in a haunted house. So I can't wait to hear about that. Why don't you start us from your earliest experience and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. That sounds good. First experience, I was around 5. I was at my grandmother's and my great grandmother had actually died in that house. And my sister sounds so twisted. Like, I swear my sister isn't evil, but she used to lock me in a bedroom and I'd play with my Polly Pockets. And they had these like wall mirrors that were only mounted with like these little screw things, like from the 80s. I can't think of how, like little brackets, like 6 little brackets. And I'm playing right in front of that mirror. And I get this like feeling, like hair on the back of my neck stands up, all this stuff. All of a sudden, the mirror falls off the wall, lands on me, hits me. I'm taken to the hospital. I get like 6 stitches. And that was kind of like the first like time anything had happened where I was like, oh my God, like this is weird. Like this is icky. Like I can't explain the feeling. It's just an icky feeling. And from there,
it wasn't pain and shock just from
it was like
the impact or nothing.
No, it was more like, I don't know. Have you ever just gotten bad vibes off of somebody when they walk in a room and it just changes like the whole like vibe, like just takes it down a notch. Like that's how it felt. And from there, like I live in Asheville, North Carolina, which is just like a sleepy valley town. And we moved to a place called Old Fort. And there's really nothing in Old Fort, but like history. And that's about it. History and mountains. So we moved there and we found this house and it had like the craziest weird smell. And my parents asked about it, like, what's the smell? What's the deal with it? And they tell us they dyed the carpets, which is like, an antiquated process that they didn't even do at this time. Like, it would cost you three times the amount to dye your carpets as it would to change your carpets. So it made no sense. So there were a few things like this, but, you know, we were moving like out of a trailer home into like a really nice house. So we're like, we don't give a fuck. We're fine with it. We don't care. Like, we'll take it.
Arm and Hammer, baking soda. Right. That'll get rid of it.
Yep, exactly. That's how we were thinking. So we move in, and at first there was nothing too crazy. We were super excited. It was a beautiful plot of land. You know, we had so much room, and it was pretty stagnant for a while until my dad went into our attic, and he went by himself and he came back down. And when he came back down, he grabbed my mom by the shoulders and was like, don't go up there. I don't care what you do. Don't go up there. Don't let the girls go up there. Just leave it alone. So of course we're three girls. And I say this every time I tell this story, like, we're three girls. If you say don't go up there, we're going up there as soon as you leave. Like, you're going to the gas station. Cool. We're going in the attic. So that's exactly what we did.
No, and three daughters, or mom's there with you. She's part of your co-conspirator.
Oh, she's co-conspirator. Of course. but yeah, so we go up and there's a box of toys, you know, look like they're from the 80s. They say Jason on them. And then there's this big four-poster king-size bed that you couldn't have gotten into the attic through the small opening. And it was like one solid piece, like somebody had made this bed and glued it in and just left it up there. So we kind of look around. Nothing really sticks out. So we go back down. We think my dad's crazy. You know, we don't really know anything. That's when our light bulbs started bursting out. Like, it's not just blowing out, not the bulb would go out, like they would burst and then the glass would be on the carpet in the middle of the night. Like, lights wouldn't even be on and they'd be bursted out. And my mom has like the shock boss collection. And I know, like, anytime we would stop at like a rest stop or something, she'd get one that had like the name of the town. So she has this big, big collection. And that would be lined up on our bar top every morning, just in a straight line. And it was stuff that like my sister and I, my mom's like, Michelle, Amanda, like, no, like, you're going to tell me you did this because I know you did it. Like, no one's here. You did this. And we didn't. And it was just crazy. And we were all kind of going through like this collective thing with the lights bursting out, the shot glasses, that was all going on to all of us. And then like, I was having my own thing. My sister was having her own thing and my mom was having her own thing. And I didn't find out until later. It was much worse for my mom, I think, than anyone else, because she was seeing things. Like, she was braiding my hair one day and she had like a mirror beside her door. And it looked like, she said she just saw an arm coming in with a machete, and she turned her head and it just disappeared. And I don't know if you guys remember, but around that time, the movie It had come out and I was freaking terrified. I watched it. I was like six with my grandma, like, stupid idea, but
that's appropriate. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, totally. My grandma was always like, you can do whatever you want at my house. Just don't tell your mom. So anyway, like, and my mom, to be fair, she's a huge Stephen King fan. She was kind of creeped out by it too. And we're just sitting in the bedroom and like my dad had bought her balloons, like with some flowers, and the balloons just float into the bedroom. And that was the moment that I think my sister and I were in there and we were all just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I'm so scared. I can't even move. Like,
it was ceiling awful. Fan on, windows open, blowing this stuff in.
Yeah, it was just
no or what?
No ceiling fan, but the windows were open. So that could have been it. But
then they dropped down so they could go through the doorway too. Right? They didn't scrape across the ceiling all the way in.
They came in. Yeah, they came in the room. So I'm trying to think, like, it's been a while, but like, yeah, they came in the room and then they kind of bobbed there. And it was just, they stayed in that one spot. And it just, I remember it being an entire like excursion, because it was the three of us. We were so scared we couldn't move. My dad wasn't coming home for an hour. And everybody was like, who's going to go shut the door? Who's going to go shut the door? Who's going to go shut the door? And like, we just couldn't get up the courage, I guess.
But, did anybody feel any other presence? I mean, you guys all obviously felt like it was in the room, but did anybody do the old goosebumps on the arm kind of thing? Or
the big difference between this home and everything I've ever experienced in my life from 0 to 30, this house felt mean. It felt like it wanted to hurt you. You didn't have a good feeling. Like, I've walked into situations where I can feel something, but it's not like, you can feel a sadness or you can feel like a happiness, even if it's a child or something like that. But like in this home, I remember just feeling like it wasn't okay. And I remember my mom, she was very religious, and she used to tell me, if you're ever, you know, just terrified, just start saying the Lord's Prayer out loud. And I can remember like being in my room and saying that so loudly that like I was shouting it. So
Well, I mean, do you and your mom and sister, do you all identify as like being empathic? Do you often feel like you can kind of feel the vibe of a room?
Definitely. My mom and I both, I think, are empaths. We both have, you know, done tarot cards, and anytime we will do like a Ouija reading, it always goes really south. So like, we try not to do those anymore. But yeah, my mom, she's had experiences most of her life. And I would say I kind of follow on that same trail.
Your mother is religious, or your grandmother was the religious
one? My mom and my grandmother are religious.
But your mom still messes around with the satanic Ouija tarot cards?
Yeah, we believe that it's all in your intent. It's all what you want to do with it. If you're using this board and you're trying to summon a demon, you're going to do that. Like, that's your intent, right? And you can pull that forth. That's like strong enough to do that. But for us, it's more like protect your heart, make sure you're praying and you're doing the right things and you're using things for the right reasons, and you'll be protected.
Did you feel like whatever this presence was attacked? I know you said your mom got it pretty bad, but between you and your sister, did one of you get it worse than the other one, or was it pretty even?
I got it a little worse because I was seeing things and talking to things in real time, where my sister was having it happen in dreams. So for me, I know that a big thing was like, I didn't know it was bad at first. And my sister and I shared like a wall. So I would be in my room playing with my Barbies. And she came out one day, just came out of her room and circled to my mom. And she's like, "Mom, come in my room." She took her in there and they could hear me talking to someone. So my mom busts open my door and I'm in there obviously by myself. And they're like, "How did you make that voice?" And you know, it's just one of those things. And I remember I kept telling my mom I had these things that...
You mean you weren't making the voice?
No, I was like, not
making
the voice.
It was just another voice.
No. Yeah, it was another voice. It came from my closet. In my childlike, I guess, idea, like what I saw, these things were like koosh balls with mouths. I know it sounds really weird, but they were just spiky. And like, at first they were friendly and it was like, "Come here, we'll do this, roll the ball, you know, we'll play Barbies, we'll do this." And then it started to be, "Do this. Your mom told you couldn't, but let's do this." Like, we had a wooded area behind our house. My mom was like, "Under no circumstance, go back there. I can't see you. I can't put eyes on you and make sure you're okay. Don't go in the woods." So then it was like, "Go in the woods. You know, you want to go in the woods. There's a puppy back there." I mean, it was just weird, weird, weird stuff.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
And
that's pretty weird.
Yeah,
it's pretty creepy. Shit.
It was creepy. And for my mom, I was talking to her last night, and she was telling me the scariest thing that happened to her was before her and my dad got married, he struggled with alcohol, and he had went to AA, and he had a girlfriend there, and she had, you know, kept struggling, and she had just kept calling and calling, and she ended up getting drunk one night and driving off of a bridge and getting decapitated. And my mom said she was in the shower one day and she just got this just full body chill, and she was washing her hair out. And she said, I knew, Amanda, if I opened my eyes, that I would see her, and I would see her as she was in death, not in life, that she was there to just release the full force of her rage on me. And it's giving me a chill right now.
Like, was she romantically involved with your father?
Yes.
In yes. Okay.
Yes. And it was just, I think that my mom probably carried a lot of guilt from her passing, because it was probably a lot of, you know, oh, I'm glad that's over. And I can't imagine how frightening that would have been in the moment. I just can't, because in the shower, you're the most, you know, vulnerable anyway.
And that took place in that home where she felt that?
Yes.
Do you think there's a possibility that maybe she was the one haunting that home, or do you think your mom was just more of a conduit for whatever spirits were around there?
I think that that's part of it. I think that we were kind of almost like a beacon or a pull, like you said, like a conduit, like things were pulled to us. And I know a lot of the things there were already there, but I do think that my mom, just the intent thing. I think that things that if you put something in your brain and you think about it every day, you can make it happen. And I think that was one of the things she was doing.
She opened up the doorway, kind of.
Exactly.
Pet Cemetery. What was it around the same time Pet Cemetery came out? Because isn't that, she said she was a Stephen King fan, right? That's kind of similar to the first opening scenes where that guy gets in the car accident or whatever, the bike accident, right?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I remember the one with the little boy. Is that Pet Cemetery too?
I think that's Red Rum. That's The Shining. Well, no, the little boy was in the Pet Cemetery too.
Yeah,
he buried his dad.
Yeah.
One of the first horror movies I ever saw was Pet Cemetery.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. Remember that? That's not fair. When he killed his own kid. Terrible. Killed his own kid with the injection and everything.
Like, really,
it's not
up.
Fair.
Yeah.
Anyways, you got me the creeps a little bit, but I'm still trying to poke holes.
Okay. So, if you have questions, let me know.
But yeah, well, that's my question. Is just how much did she like Stephen King? Maybe she was a writer and she was just channeling all these creative impulses. And
she's not a writer, but she did read a lot of Stephen King. So I give you that one. She loved him. One of my favorite quotes from Stephen King actually is, I have the heart of a little boy. I keep it in a jar on my desk.
Oh, God. Well, Amanda, you said that you saw things. I mean, I know you described the whatever those entities were in your closet. Were there any other spirits or entities you saw in the home?
I did. I saw there was a lady. And at the time, you know, I don't know why I didn't think this was weird, but she would come in my room and I could kind of see through her. She was like a hazy blue. But like, I just remember sadness, like just this bone curdling sadness. Like as an adult, the only thing I can equate to it is my daughter was in like the NICU for a month. And that was the only time in my entire life that I've been that sad. Yeah. And I feel she didn't speak. She would just come through my room. She would look at me. I would wake up and she'd be at the end of my bed. It was like things like that, but she was never auditory with me. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I got with almost every thing I've ever come in contact with. I can auditorily hear them. Even now, I can sometimes still auditorily hear things, but I can't see it visually anymore.
Now, but, do you suffer from sleep paralysis at all or night
terrors? Oh my God. I was literally telling my husband about how terrifying that is yesterday because he hasn't ever had it happen. And yes, it's awful. Yeah.
What's sleep paralysis? I mean, it sounds pretty self-explanatory, I guess, but I've never experienced where I couldn't move.
The kind I get is, And it doesn't happen very often for me anymore, but used to when it happened more frequent. I see a spider dropping down from the ceiling, and it's like I'm awake in the sense that I can see the entire room, but I can't move or do anything about it until like the very last moment I can, you know, shake free or whatever. But then I realize in that same like breath, I realize it's not real. Whatever the, you know, the spider I see or whatever is gone. And also it's usually pitch black in my room, so I also can't really see. So whatever it was I was seeing was being like projected from my mind as if, you know, this is all really happening when it's not. But some people believe, because a lot of people will have experiences with like what they call like the shadow man or the hat man or some kind of negative male entity at like the, you know, in their room staring at them, like tickling their feet or whatever. They believe that's
that like voodoo.
The Cure. What's that song? The Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not about Marvel's comic book character, though.
Yeah, a little creepier. But yeah, so that's kind of, I was just curious because you were seeing things, you know, at night, if you felt like that was part of sleep paralysis or if you were fully awake when you were seeing this woman walk into the room.
When I was younger, I didn't have it as bad. The sleep paralysis didn't start for me until I was about 12. And this was all happening from 6 to 8. So
how long did you guys live in that house?
We lived there about, we had ownership of the home for about 2 years, but I'd say we only lived there about 8 months. So.
Okay. Cause it got freaky and you guys just wanted to move.
We fled in the middle of the night. We ended up moving. What? If you ask my dad anything about that home, where it was, what it looked like, he can't tell you anything. He can literally tell you nothing from that 8 months. But it started to get dangerous because he was experiencing something, and he is a zero. He does not believe in anything other than God. He believes in all that, but he zero on ghosts, anything like that. It had gotten so bad in my room that I just couldn't sleep in there anymore. And I went and I was sleeping with my mom, and she, and I guess my dad had moved into my, yeah, that's right. I was sleeping with mom and dad had moved into my room. And the more he slept in my room, the worse things got for him and us, and just the way he would interact with us. My sister would tell my mom that she would hear him speaking to things in there. And my mom said one night she woke up and she heard the door rattling, and she couldn't understand it because she hadn't locked it. She could just hear it, just the of somebody trying to open it. And like, she wakes up the next morning, my dad's like, why'd you lock the door on me? What were you afraid? And it's like nothing my dad would ever say. Like, were you afraid I'd come in there? Like, what were you doing? You know? And it was getting to be those things all the time. And that was when we ended up, we called our realtor and we were like, okay, we've called all the carpet stores in this county, and none of them dyed these carpets. And they also told us that it's 3 times more expensive. So please explain that. Explain what's going on with our electricity because our lights are blowing out. And I guess somebody's breaking into our home because our shot glasses are lined up every morning. And that was when, like,
breaking into our home to rearrange our shot glasses.
Exactly. And that was when we slowly, like, pulled the information out of the real estate agent. And it used to be a church, and they had dyed the carpets from staining, et cetera. And that was kind of when she said,
if I was the real estate agent, I would have still told you. I would have been like, no, here's the thing. There's this kid around here, and he's got severe OCD, but he's really good at breaking into homes, and he leaves without a trace. He does this all the time. He opens up your cupboard doors. You don't know why.
It's cool.
He's probably in the house right now. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're right.
I'm still very interested in the bed upstairs as well, because if that thing was made, constructed up there, piece by piece, you guys left it when you moved too?
Yeah, we left everything that was there when we moved in. The box, the bed, anything, any furniture, because we just don't want to take anything that might have an attachment.
Did you guys think about destroying that bed? Like, my first thing was like, yeah, destroy the
bed. My mom wanted to burn it, and I was like, and my dad was like, no, we'll burn down the house. Like, we can't get this thing out. I don't think that's a good idea, Janet. Well, couldn't
you, Sawzall or something, you couldn't have sawed it apart, or he didn't want to take the time to do that?
We may have been able to do that, but we moved so fast, I don't think anybody cared.
You were very young before you knew when you moved out then, too.
Yeah,
you say you were there at 5, right?
I was there at 6. And then I was 7 when we were moving out, and I was 8 when we finally got rid of it. So,
and Amanda, did you happen to find out what kind of church it was that was there?
It was a Baptist church, and they had done, unfortunately, you know, showings. I mean, they had preached, they had done, you know, funerals. It had been used for everything that a church is used for. And that was kind of the part where we were like, how is this legal? Like, we did get into, I know my mom and dad got into a rabbit hole that they fell down for years. Like, how is this legal? How can you sell us this home? Like someone was in here that was dead. Like, don't you have to disclose that? I get they didn't die here, but like, they were brought here and they weren't alive.
Right.
So,
and you know, who knows, how old was the church? Or how old
it
was the
erected. If this was in 1994, and the church was erected in 1952. So it had been there about 40 years at that point.
Right on. Through segregation and different things too.
Mm-hmm.
And this was down south there a bit?
Yeah. Like, I live in North Carolina, and this area, Old Fort, is like a very, very rural area. So yeah, I would imagine it had seen some bad things.
And so what was the breaking point for the family where they were like, F it, we got to get out of here?
My mom, my sister and I, like, we had gotten to a point with my dad where we didn't even feel like we could talk to him about anything. Hmm. And my mom had kind of decided that she didn't know how things were going with him. She was worried he was going to start drinking again or something. Cause he was acting very strange. And
the Shining kind of stuff.
That's what I was thinking too.
Kind of. And my mom had decided we were going to go stay with my grandmother. Like, we were gone. Her and my sister and I were going to leave and leave him there. And I remember we walked in to tell him we're leaving. Like, we're going to go to my mom's. Bye. And she was like, we're leaving. And he's like, okay, where are we going? And she's like, no, the girls and I are leaving. He's like, no, where are we moving? We're moving out. Right. And it was such an off the wall thing. And he like went and got a U-Haul and we moved out like as fast as possible. We felt like we were like running. It felt like running.
You think he probably saw somebody in the bathroom too, just like The Shining, and he was like, nope, that was the end of it.
I
seen a playmate and then she turned into a dead woman on me.
I actually feel like he was being taken over by something, because he was changing so much and he believed so little that I just feel like he had a bigger threshold to be manipulated, if that makes sense.
So you feel like it was more the everything that was happening over time that pushed y'all out. It wasn't like one defining moment then that kind of broke your dad and you know, wanting to get out. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, it was definitely a slow build that we were on. And with him, it was almost like we were on a slow build and we didn't know what was going on with him. He was just kind of separate from us. And that was kind of where we intersected, if that makes sense. Like, when she's like, I'm leaving, we're going, we're gone. He's like, okay, cool, I'm going to get you. Like, wow. We're doing this.
Mom and dad had a strained relationship during all this time. Did they, how did they, at the next house, did that change? Did they continue separate paths kind of?
Nope, they're still together. They've been married 42 years this year.
Okay.
And it was hard for a while. We moved in with my grandmother. We lived with my grandfather for a while. And then we moved into our own home. But we went through, it was weird. It was almost like, because we let that go so easy, we weren't able to grab onto another home. Like, we went through, like, we moved a bunch and all these things. And it was just like that instability. I don't know. It was weird.
The instability of having new homes all the time, or
the instability, like when we left that home, like we left, you know, and we moved in with my grandmother and we kind of just left it and we didn't care about like that we'd taken a mortgage out. We didn't care that we'd bought it, all those things. It was almost like it was so much harder to acquire the next time, if that makes sense. Like, we were just, you know, moving into this house and renting it for 6 months, then another house for six months.
Financially, it had to take you back quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're paying double rent for a while, if nothing else. And then you might even sell for less than market.
And it got too much at the end of the 2 years. We couldn't sell it. We couldn't offload it, because after we'd had our experience, the real estate agent was telling people it was a church. So it's like, nobody wanted to buy it. It smelled funny. Like, it had all these problems. And at the end of that 2 years, we were just like, we can't do this anymore. We're going to default on our loan. Like, we just can't do this anymore. So.
And so I know you said that the kind of the things that happen now are different than back then, but that your mom had continued to, so since she was able to kind of see more and experience more, did moving out of the house kind of end her relationship with the supernatural, or is that still ongoing?
To be honest with you, antidepressants ended her relationship with the supernatural, unfortunately. I feel like that happens to a lot of people, just kind of dulls you. But she was still sharp and she still noticed things for years after that. But I know after my sister and I are 9 years apart, and when she was 18, she went to the military and my mom fell into a depression. So I would say from about that time, she's not really seen too much since.
Okay. You said your sister would lock you in your room. So the first time you saw Harry Potter, did you really identify with him being locked in the room?
Never once. I've never watched Harry Potter.
Okay, so much for the Harry Potter joke.
There is.
I would think you wouldn't be scared of magic so much as you'd be scared of Stephen King and horror movies. What was the last horror movie you watched?
Oh, too many to mention. I just watched the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where like the hipsters are gentrifying the town, and Bubba just goes full Leatherface on them. It was great.
What? This is. I didn't even know that. What is it? Texas Chainsaw Massacre won the fifth time or something.
I'm not sure exactly the name. I'll have to email it to Noah. But yeah, like you should watch it. It's great.
So I guess you pretty firmly believe then there was something with that church. The residue of whatever was left from that church was what was haunting your family.
Yes, I believe that was what was blowing the lights out. I believe that was lining up the things, just all of the things that would just make you go, am I crazy? Am I actually losing my mind? You know?
Well, so we're kind of coming up on our hour. Amanda, is there anything else that happened in the home that you'd like to share with the audience?
We lost our cat and we got him back. That part was weird. But other than that, those were the biggest things that happened there.
Got him back. How did he act? Was it a he?
Yes, it was a he. And we'd had him forever and he was not scared of anything. And when we got him back, we actually found him underneath, like, you know, in the 80s, like they had those sinks that had cabinets underneath with just two doors. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. My mom was cleaning that out as we're moving and he just flies out at her. And he's been missing for months. And we're like, we really just could not find him. And he has this huge bite on his neck. My mom said that she thought maybe like a huge spider got to him or something. Like it was very weird. And we took him.
So the bite wasn't dog bite though, or nothing like that.
No, this was like a venomous bite. Like we had to take him to the vet and have it lanced. Like it was really bad. And that happened. And she found she had lost her wedding ring, which was actually my great grandmother's wedding ring. And she found that when they were moving like the couch, it was like right underneath. And she's like, I had looked under that couch 100 times. It was not there.
Did anybody else in the family see any other visual entities? Or do you think you described all the ones that we're seeing?
My mom would see shadows. She talked about that more like, and a lot of it was like looking in a mirror or looking out of the corner. You know, I think that happens to everybody, but this was like, it happened so frequent that you were more drawn to it. But she would see shadows constantly. And she said she would see like limbs, like the day she was braiding my hair, she saw an arm with a machete, or she would see somebody walking into the room and just see their arm in the mirror or their leg or something. And she did say, like, where I live is right by the Cherokee reservation. My grandfather was one half Cherokee Indian, one half Irish. So it's in our blood. And she said several times she had seen, like, you know, an Indian kind of walking through, like what she would assume an Indian would look like, etc. So I'm not sure, that totally could have been part of our problem, because at one point this was Cherokee Indian land, like all of
land
this.
Yeah,
so
in 1952 that might still, I'm trying to think of all that Canadian stuff that was going on with the, where they're exhuming the churches and finding Native bodies underneath there.
Well, my high school that I went to, they dug up, like when my mom went there too. And when she was going, they were actually exhuming Indian bodies. Like it's Irwin High School. You can look it up. Like it's crazy. But they built it basically on an Indian burial ground. And it just started kind of like unearthing at some point. And they had
to see that should teach us all a lesson. Yeah. Get cremated.
I mean, I agree with that.
Just take up less space. You don't have to worry about haunting people. It's got to suck as a ghost. Am I wrong?
You don't have to worry about haunting people.
It seems like a lot of work.
I mean, come on. If you're depressed though, and you're like, oh, and you scare somebody, like that'd make me happy. I'd be like,
you think it cheers their day up? Well, they
dance
don't.
For me.
You think enough of them, then they can ascend to the next level? Like the spirit can go on after I've scared enough?
Amanda, I feel like we just learned a lot about you too in that brief. I heard dance for me.
Like,
I
was like, right. Corners and shit.
I mean, if you're going to be a ghost, make it fun.
Yeah, you know? If you want to enjoy your time. Well, I don't
think it would be fun. I think I would hate it.
Yeah, I just don't want to die, period. So that's my biggest struggle. You know, that's one of the things I enjoy most about this podcast, because it gives me a little hope that there is some kind of existence after.
Well, would you want to haunt people?
No, but if I could,
would you want to line up shot glasses every day and then bust out lights?
That had to be annoying.
You know, if I could float in front of a TV and watch like season 112 of Ink Masters, I think I could do that for a while. You know?
But what if they only let you watch MASH? That's all that's on the other side.
Well, I think you see that's what it is because you don't control the remote control. And what kind of torture must it be? Just be like, God, damn, I hate this show. I fucking hate this show. God. Can you just turn this show?
That is bad.
You can't even voice it, right? And so then you're just like, man, these guys watch fucking America's Funniest Videos every goddamn day. I'm so tired of ball punches. And
you would be the guy that would start doing the nickel or Patrick Swayze thing, like lifting the nickel so you could get the remote control.
Hey, he got to have some fun, you know, if we're talking about straight up ghost.
Ghost, right?
Yeah.
And I meant to mention this at the top, but I want to make sure everybody knows where they can find Kyle's podcast.
Straight to the point, completely off topic.
And you can also follow Kyle on social media on Instagram at Ink by Kyle Dunbar. And then Kyle, you have a website as well, right? Ink by Kyle Dunbar.
Ink by Kyle Dunbar. Anything you want, Ink by Kyle Dunbar, pretty much. I think I got smarter people than me. You know, if to be a success, you need a team. That's what I find. And and I'm really lazy, so I'm just trying to be like average. And I still, you know, I need a team still.
But that sounds like a good podcast too. Just trying to be average.
Dude, why are we like this whole hustle mentality? Like we got to stop.
I can't stand it.
Like slow down, man.
Like Every day I'm hustling. Mm-mm. When we were kids, when people worked like that, they were workaholics. And now it's like, no, I'm in an MLM and I sell like shampoo and it's great. But I work 24/7 and I'm here to tell you about time freedom.
Yeah, you like it?
Oh, that is not what I do.
Okay.
I was just role playing.
Can you sell me some cutlery too while you're at it? Some Gerber knives or whatever.
Yeah. Cutco knives.
Cutco. That's what. Yeah.
Somebody brought some knives out. He told me they were sharp. I barely touched the tip, man. That thing cut me so bad. I was like, they're too sharp.
Yeah. I used to do presentation. You could actually like cut a penny with one of those knives.
Jesus.
How much steak do I mean, is my tough? Like I'll buy a better cut of steak.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
I'll like there's be no healthier reason to use those for steak.
And I won't have to cut everything. You put it on the it's like a lightsaber, you know? Set it down, it goes through your dishwasher.
Well, Amanda, before we get you out of here, is there anything you want to plug?
I write for True Crime Podcast and YouTube, and you can find me on Instagram at Mrs.MandyKelly. Awesome.
Well, thank you both for coming on. This was a real treat as I enjoy all the episodes.
Oh, wait. I do have one question. Huh? I'm sorry. I do have one question. Believability. I got to get a cold feel here.
Oh, how you did?
1 to 10. Yeah, 1 to 10. How much do you believe?
Kyle, I'll let you go first.
I'm like 6, 7 because I'm creeped out. But yeah, at the same time with Stephen King, I'm ready to write it all off as an overactive imagination shared between a whole family.
Yeah, I mean, that's still respectable. I would say 7, 8. I mean, I definitely look, it's a fascinating tale. I think anytime you have shared experiences, that moves the needle for me. And it sounds like you all had things going on. And gosh, just the cinematic thought of you all fleeing in the middle of the night in a U-Haul from this haunted home is a pretty wild thing. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Kyle Dunbar.
I'm Amanda Kelly.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.